start with my confession? I already confessed this to Matthew a little bit ago. He asked me what I thought about the book of Hebrews, and I said, not my favorite. But you know what? We'll get through it. I'm supposed to do chapters 3 and 4. I'm just going to totally skip 3 because it's boring. So hope you guys don't mind. Anybody mind?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, so you saw in the news, how many days has it been since that school shooting in Ohio?
Two.
Yeah, two, and 3 kids died and a couple wounded, and it's just an awful thing, awful thing. Yeah, school shootings aren't new. I was trying to think, some of you were probably elementary school when the big one happened at Columbine in Colorado. But they go back farther than that. When I was in elementary school, there was a school shooting at my brother's high school in Oklahoma City at Western Heights High School. Shout out for the Jets. And nobody got injured on that one because the girl doing the shooting was an awful shot, thank God. I think a couple windshields in the parking lot were the only victims. But the word was, you know, and who knows if this rumor was true, her name was Julie. And as she was getting into the police car, she said, "Everybody knows my name now." Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? So glad you guys are here, and hopefully this is a place where people know your name. And my name's Lisa, and we're going to work through a little bit of Hebrews chapter 4 tonight. But anyway, so there is a segue there. Talking about guns as lethal weapons, and I don't know, how many of you have ever shot a gun before? Any of you shot at somebody before? Okay, good, because we would take you in the back room and deal with that. So anyway, dealing with deadly weapons. Now, back in Bible days, they didn't have guns. So what was the deadly weapon of choice? Sword, spear, dagger, yeah. Okay. So tonight, in Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to talk about a sword. All right, so this is what God's Word says. "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." All right, so God's Word is the sword that is sharp and divide your soul and spirit, joints and marrow or marrow. I'm not a biology major. Okay. So, back when I was in college, I was involved in campus ministry, and many, many, many moons ago. But I had this friend named Justin. He came on a Wednesday night to our regular Bible study, and he had his trusty old Bible with him. But his Bible was different than it usually was because it had grown about 6 inches in thickness. You know what happens when books get wet? Yeah, okay. So that's what had happened. And he had taken his blow dryer to it, but it really didn't help. It was still, it had dried in that expanded kind of accordion thing. And so we started asking, what happened? What happened? You know? And he didn't want to tell us. And so, of course, that just made us ask more. So we start hounding, "Justin, what happened to your Bible?" Well, it had fallen in the toilet. That's what had happened to his Bible. And we're like, "Dude, what were you doing?" And he said, "I promised the water was clean at the time." So picture that however you want. But somehow the Bible ended up in the toilet. And we were all horrified by this because the Word of God doesn't belong in the toilet. But we also thought it was so hilarious that that had happened to him and that he continued using the Bible. Because, yeah, I'm not sure exactly how you're supposed to destroy a Bible, you know, when you're done using it. I don't know if you're supposed to burn it like a flag or what, but he kept it, and he kept using it throughout the rest of that year when his mama finally bought him a new Bible. So anyway, the thing that I got from that is, you know, like my parents and my grandparents, they had these like pristine Bibles sitting on their coffee table. Do you have a grandma with that kind of Bible at their house? And they have like 8 generations written in the front and, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's great, but I've never seen them open it. And my friend Justin, even though he dropped it in the toilet, was at least attempting to read it. And for that, I had to give him a little bit of credit. So your Bible, although we should, you know, I mean, it's God's Word. We need to show it respect. But it's useless if we're not using it. It's useless if we're not reading it, applying it, allowing God's word to penetrate us, not in a superficial way, but really letting it get into who we are and dividing out the bad stuff and bringing in God's spirit into our lives. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And yeah, there's that scripture, you probably have heard it a million times, from 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is what? Okay, inspired and God-breathed. It's the same word in Greek, it just depends what Bible version you have. All scripture is inspired by God. Literally, it says God-breathed, okay? And so what that means, we don't know. We just know that somehow God has put himself into the scripture. And so when we read it, we are encountering God himself. And so we pay attention to that, right? I'm the pastor at St. Paul's United Methodist Church on 38th Street, across from Kids Zone, basically where the construction crews have just demolished our front yard. And that is a trying thing for me right now. But anyway, founder of Methodism, John Wesley, he said that scripture contained all that was necessary for salvation. And this is coming from a guy who is like Church of England, always wore the stuffy necktie and, you know, fancy hat and all that kind of stuff. And he really thought the church was important and the church's teachings were important. But he said, you know, if you were ever stuck on a desert island somewhere with no camera crew and all you had was a Bible, God could reveal himself to you through that Bible, and you could be saved based on what you read. Without a Sunday school teacher explaining it to you, without a preacher explaining it to you, the Bible in and of itself is enough for you to find God. And I like that. I like that because it puts me out of a job, which is okay some days. But that's what God's word is meant. It is, although I think it helps to have good teachers, certainly, it's also directly to you. God's sword gets into you directly if you give it the opportunity. Okay, so how many of you have the Bible memorized? I'm pretty sure lightning might strike you. Okay, here's the deal. Like, there are these usually it's ladies, but sometimes it's men, these old folks in my church, they have stuff like memorized, and they always memorize it in the King James, right? I don't know why, but that's what they learned it in. And they can, like, I'll say Psalm 40, like, yes, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined and heard my, yeah. It's like, really? You know, I'd be lucky to open to the book of Psalms, you know? And of course, now that I got my tablet, I don't even have that. I just have to type it in, and sometimes I feel like this huge failure. Here I am as a pastor, and I don't have as much memorized as some of the people in my church. And I know you guys, you probably don't have as much memorized as maybe you think you should if you're someone who professes to follow Christ, right? But I came to the conclusion a long time ago that all the memorization is very important, and we should do it, and we should strive to do that. In the end, what's more important is getting the gist of Scripture. You know, I may not be able to tell you exactly where God says or Jesus says we should love our enemies, but I know it's in there. And so the next time someone cuts me off in traffic, instead of doing what I really want to do, maybe I say a prayer for him, or maybe I just bite my tongue, you know. And so it's in me, even if I don't completely know where, and I may not even have it memorized word for word. And that's where I think we need to get is, if we want God's sword to really get into us, we need to at least be familiar enough that we can allow it to come into those situations in our lives, the good and the bad, and allow it to, you know, do what it does best. Okay, but here's the problem. As a people, we just don't know the Bible even that well, right? And so we're going to have our video entertainment now. And Patrick, whenever you're ready to go, this is an old video, but I think it would happen today just the same way. And cross your fingers that it works.
We're talking with...
Angela Clayton.
Angela, where are you from?
I'm from Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville, Kentucky. You saw the Bible Belt, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's what we're asking people about today.
Okay.
On the first day of creation, God said, let there be...
peace.
blessed are the meek, for they shall
eat.
You're from Kentucky.
Yes, I'm from Kentucky.
How many commandments are there?
12.
Talking with Joseph Hutchinson.
Joe, what do you do?
Bartender in Las Vegas.
Where was Jesus born?
Born, I don't know.
You don't need Christmas carol?
Oh, little town.
Bethlehem.
There you go, great. How long ago was he born, approximately?
Ooh, I'd say 400 years ago.
400 years ago. So, about the time Columbus came along.
I was so wrong.
Yeah. What was Jesus' parents' name?
Mary. Mother Mary, wasn't it?
Okay, Jesus' mother was Mary. What was his father's name?
Dad.
Dad. What did Jesus do for a living? Did he have a job?
Did he do cabinetry or build things or something? Did he build stuff?
You mean like a carpenter?
And have carpet back there.
Kelly, what do you do?
I am a pastor at for university students.
This is perfect. Woo. This is what we're talking about. Who tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden, and with what?
That would be the devil, and he was a serpent,
yeah,
a snake, and he tempted him with, some say it was an apple, but there's really no proof that it was an apple.
What do you think it was?
Probably chocolate.
Chocolate. Oh, you think a chocolate worked better?
Chocolate apple. Yeah.
Have you been tempted by chocolate?
Yes.
What did Noah do?
He built an ark.
And why? What is an ark?
An ark, it was the huge boat that he put all the animals on because of the flood.
Yeah, what happened?
That Jesus flooded the earth.
Jesus flooded the earth. Just sped up, flooded the earth, and well, Jesus was a carpenter. Did he help build the ark?
I believe so.
Okay. What was the key to the Red Sea?
He parted the Red Sea.
And why? Why did he do that?
And he parted the Red Sea to let someone through.
Let someone through? One?
No, I think to let the ark through.
To let the ark through. Now, let me ask you a question. The ark was on water. The ark was on the ark. You parked the Red Sea. Now the ark is beached. It's part of the Red Sea. And Muslims belong to what religion?
Who knows?
You guys got that one, right? Okay. Okay. So, do you feel smarter, like you know more of the Bible now? I hope so. Okay. So, there's a Barna study. It says that 1/3 of all Christians claim to read the Bible more than once a week. 1/3 of Christians. Okay. So, you do the math. Are you in the 1/3 or are you in the 2/3 that actually read the Bible more than once a week? Everybody look at the door, see who's coming in.
Pizza.
Okay, pizza's here? Okay, I'm going to finish up real fast. All right. Okay, so anyway, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Okay, so here's the deal. You go to CCM, you go to Bible study, go to church on Sunday mornings. Most of the time, you hear Scripture read to you, okay? For those of you who are like education majors or, you know, just know something, how effective is it when you just hear something and that's, do you remember it? Do you learn it? No, not at all. Okay, so here's the deal. You got to read it yourself. And I don't care how you do it. If you got an iPad, pull it up on your iPad. If you have the old-fashioned paper version, read it from there. Pull it up on your smartphone. Read it when you're on the toilet. If no other time, read it when you're on the toilet. Do not drop your toilet, or don't drop the phone in the toilet.
Don't drop your toilet.
Don't do that either. Those are expensive. All right. But if you're not reading it, you're not allowing God's sword to get into you, okay? And this is what I know, okay? as a college student, as someone who graduated from college, as anyone in this entire world, you have just crap in you that needs to be cut out, okay? And you know what it is, and you are probably desperate for God to cut that crap out of you. And so God's word is the way that God works in you, okay? And you pray, and you have other people pray for you, and you ask him to do that. But let me tell you, my experience is that God's word has been the vehicle for God to change me the most. I started reading my Bible when I was 12, which is kind of weird. I grew up going to church, but I wasn't in a religious family. No one told me to start reading my Bible. I just started reading it when I was 12. Started in Genesis chapter 1 and read a chapter every night for the next 3 years. So by the time I was 15, I had read through the Bible one time through. Now, did I understand it? No. Not in the least. But the gist of it got pounded into me. I was amazed, even at that age, about how many times God's people in the Old Testament screwed up and screwed up and screwed up, and God kept forgiving them and giving them another chance and giving them another chance. And it was like, really, God, you're like that? Because I kind of thought he was like the lightning strike kind of God, you know? And then I read the New Testament, and I had grown up hearing all the stories about Jesus, but you know, I read them for myself, and okay, and it was just amazing. Like reading the crucifixion and Easter stories through all four Gospels, man, that changes a person's life. And it did. It changed my life. And like I said, I didn't understand a whole bunch when I read it through the first time. Second read-through, I understood a little bit more. Now I don't really do a read-through. I kind of jump around a whole bunch. But you got to do it. You got to allow God's word into your life. So don't keep it at that superficial level, because that's what those people on jaywalking do. Don't be like them, please. And if you do, never say that you went to CCM if you're going to be like that. But really let it get in, okay? So that's my talk for tonight, Hebrews chapter 4, and, you know, Hebrews 3 we can just ignore. So, all right, let's pray. God, I know, God, that every one of us in this room could allow the sword of your word into our lives more and more. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us do that, not just to think about it, but to actually do it, to open up our Bibles, to pull them up, and to actually read. And, God, we pray that when your sword gets into our lives, that you would cut all the crap stuff out and make us to be your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's thank Lisa for coming.